want to remember the Lewis family in our prayers. A lot of you know Brother Walter Lewis, who passed away on last Tuesday, I believe. But he graced our services on yesterday. Okay, I want to pray for Sister Lewis and the Lewis family and the loss of Brother Walter Lewis. And also just found out that Brother Terry had a nephew to pass. I'm sorry to hear that. All right, what's his name? Hold on 1 second, bro. Prayer request. What's his name? Kevin, K-E-V-I-N. That's K-E-L-V-I-N, in case you're running into your prayer request. Hampton family in the passing. Okay. You write it right in your prayer request, if you like to. Thank you, my brother. H-A-V-I-S. Yes, sir. Everybody got that? All right, let's go ahead and begin this morning. Our lesson. James chapter 2. We begin verse 1. I want to begin by going to verse 27. When he talks about pure religion, Jesus talked about blessed are the pure in heart, amen? For they shall see the kingdom of God. Pure religion undefiled before God. See, before God, amen? And the Father is this, amen? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's what Christians are supposed to do in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. A lot of times you hear brethren said this is church responsibility, this individual responsibility, because the church can't keep you. Only you can keep yourself unspotted from the world, amen. Only you can be pure, amen. See, now we can encourage one another, amen. We can help one another, amen, to do that. But we can't do it for you. See, this is an individual command, but you got a lot of people go to the scripture, James 1:25, for taking money out of the church treasury to support orphan homes or institutionalism, which I don't have no problem supporting institutionalism orphan home, but it's an individual command. Not a church command. We all supposed to do that, amen, in relationship to Christian responsibility. But the main thing, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And the reason why you want to do that, because of verse 12. Because you want to be blessed, amen. Because what sin is, God is not. That endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. So let's don't forget that as we go through the book of James in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Now, chapter 2, let me begin by calling the first phase of it is partiality. Partiality. That is that we show favoritism. That we show favoritism. And I want to begin by understanding that we all are brothers and sisters in Christ. And in Christ, there is no division. We all equal. It makes no difference who you are, what you got. We're still heirs of God, and we are joint heirs of Jesus Christ in relationship. So he begins James chapter 2 by using that phrase, my brethren. Here we go again. Where do you see that phrase? Just in your own denotion. Y'all know what I want you to do, right? And I don't have to say that, am I right? The 21 books is written to the church. Amen. 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 So by brothering, let you know that if you're not a brothering, number one, you can't practice pure and undefiled religion. Amen. See, you can't keep yourself unspotted from the world. Amen. Because that's what you do when you obey the gospel. Amen. Revelation 2:10. To be thou faithful unto death in order to receive a crown of life. So he began by saying, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. With respect of person. Let's go to Luke 6 and verse 40. Let's go to Luke 6 and verse 40. In relationship to understand what James is talking about, when he talks about what does our partiality have to do with the Lord of glory. I mean, what do our partiality has to do with the Lord of glory? Well, in Luke chapter 6, I want to begin there. And then I want us to look at about verse 40. It has a lot to do with it, amen? Verse 40. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 40. I'm going to begin reading in verse 39. Because in verse 39, the whole chapter is good to read. And he spake a parable to them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? And the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Relationship to, we are our brother's keeper in relationship to, I'm no greater than John and John no greater than me. We're all equal in the eyesight of God. We don't use that phrase that our lives is the master. He is the pastor. He is the potentate. See, even though I serve as the minister, I'm not your master. Amen. Even though John is married to Kathy, John is not her master. He's not like that preacher told me one day. He said, brother, you know, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Anyway, he said, brother, you think that our wives need to start calling us Lord? Well, I said, you better go back to Genesis chapter 2. And by verse 20, he used the phrase, she's our helpmeet, amen. She's our helpmeet, amen. Because that word Lord means ruler, amen. He's not the ruler over you, amen. See, not only are y'all husband and wife, but y'all brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. And respect is due in relationship, not that he is Lord over you or ruler over you, but that y'all work together. Now, that is scripture that's teaching, like over in 1 Peter 3, that she should submit to her own husband, amen. See, I understand that, submit. But see, when you submit, you can't submit or go over God's word to get your will done when that word violates God's word. Amen. Did y'all hear what I just said? See, because still God's word binds all of us. Amen. Makes no difference who you may be in relationship to understanding what he is saying here, that our partiality has something to do with the Lord of glory. Because as Christians, we profess to be Christ's disciples, our followers, whose goal is to imitate Christ. Not that we be over Christ, but to imitate Christ as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can be careful when we start setting up boundaries, or we've been setting up things that don't exist, even as we've been studying, brethren, eldership, amen. See, and understanding that the eldership role is to be a shepherd, to shepherd the flock, to be an overseer of the flock, but it's not to be a master over the flock. See, it's not to be a domineering force over the flock. It's there for a purpose. See, not to violate, that is that I'm over you and you're going to take the place of Jesus to replace Jesus, because that's what it's not to be. And that's what he's saying here in verse number 1. My brother, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. Amen. See, God respected us, amen, and allowing us to be heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And in unitarily, we need to respect one another. And we really need to understand that verse here, because, see, in so many times we see in the religious world, you got men or you got people who because they think that they have achieved certain things in life, or they may have been successful, They may have reached a plateau in life that sometimes we have a tendency to look down at people or think that we are better. Sometimes we look at what we have. See, sometimes we look at where we came from, and we have a tendency to think that we are better. But once you obey the gospel, we are all the brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 1. Let's go there right quick. Romans chapter 1. See, he talked about that in Romans 1 real quickly. He said in Romans chapter 1, he talks about that in relationship to understanding the will of God. Romans chapter 1. See, beginning in verse 16, we talk about, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." See, "For it is the power of God unto salvation." See, "To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." See, in Acts 10, when the wall was torn down, we all became equal. Amen. Amen. We all became equal, and then go to Romans 8 very quickly. And I like this in Romans 8, 16. Romans 8, chapter and verse 16. Go to Romans 8 and verse 16. He says here that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. Amen. "And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him," amen, "that we may also" what? "Glorify together." See, we glorify together. We build together. We grow together. Amen. We all are equal in God's eyesight. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. See, Christ is the head of our church. Amen. And that's the way we got to see one another. Let's don't be robbed, not so much in church. But remember, we are light bearers. Amen. That when you see people less fortunate than you, you understand? Because a lot of times we see people, they may be out begging, or they may be not cleaner than you are, or they may be in a different situation. I mean, don't look down at these people. Amen. Because guess what? It could have been you. Just by the grace of God, we have what we have. Amen. See, because it could be me, or it could be you that may be on that street corner, or may be homeless, or may be hungry, or wherever it may be. And you don't want nobody to look down on you, so why are you going to look down at somebody else? Amen. Because see, number one, if people are going to see Jesus in us, they got to see it through us. Amen. Amen. And if we as Christians can't do good unto all men, well, who can? I say all the time, if we as Christians understood James 1:27 and did our responsibility to the homeless, the fatherless, the widows, and those who are in need, based on we understand God, we are, brother, we wouldn't have to go to the Red Cross, or we wouldn't have to go to all these different institutions that have been set up by mankind. But we become selfish in our own way. We become haulers in our own ways that we look down upon people. We make phrases like, "I got mine, you better go get yours." Amen. And what we do, we show partiality. And guess what, brother? It's a sin to show partiality. It's wrong. It's a sin to think that you are something when literally you are not. Let's go to Galatians 6 right quick, and then we'll continue on. Because in Galatians 6, he talks about that a little bit. Galatians chapter 6. Because in Galatians 6, 3 and 2, he talks about bear ye one another's burden. Amen. See, it's our responsibility to be our brother's keeper. Amen. Am I right? See, if I'm hungry, I mean, why should I go to the Red Cross when I know Fred, you got a refrigerator full of food? Amen. Why should I? Am I right? 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If a man don't take care of his own, he's denied the faith, and he's worse than a what? Infidel." See, we talk about benevolence. Benevolence, number one, began at home. Amen. See, we talked about that. He talked about that the other night over the Vestavia, Brother Hall, where he talks about, well, number one, if I get to a state where I'm in need, well, it's not the church responsibility first. Go back to James 1:27. He's number one, it's your family responsibility. Amen. It's your family responsibility to take care of you. I mean, if I need medicine, if I'm hurting, first of all, Sean, Eric, and all my children, it's your responsibility to take care of your dad and your mama. Amen. Now, if they can't do it or they don't did everything that they can do, amen, Did individual Christian want to chip in? All right. But the church should be the last somebody to be burdened. Amen. The church should be the last somebody to be burdened in relationship to bear ye one another's burden. See, a lot of times we say we Christians, but that Christianity goes so far to touch my pocketbook. Now, don't get too close to my pocketbook. Now, I'll be a Christian with you long as I ain't got to go in my pocketbook, because you know I put money in the contribution. Well, you're supposed to do that. I come to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Amen. But also, go back to James 1, 27. See, pure and undefiled religion is this. See, visit the fathers, visit the widows, and then keep oneself unspotted from the world. Amen. And then he says here, bear ye one another's burden. Amen. It's our responsibility. When I hurt, you hurt. Amen. When you hurt, I hurt. Amen. We brothers and sisters in Christ. Am I right? We're heirs of God and we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Am I right? Question. If your brother, your physical brother, was hungry, would you give him something to eat? Well, you still my spiritual brother, amen. Amen. Sometimes this may have stronger implications. Amen. And that's just the way we got to see it. See, and that's what's wrong with the world. We just got two pairs of glasses. We see one way on Sunday and see another way on Monday. And it shouldn't be that way. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Now, let me go a little bit further. The Bible also says, if a man don't work, he don't eat. And let me clear that up. Now, if you just sorry and you won't do nothing to help yourself, well, I ain't going to do nothing to help you. Amen. Because number one, you sin when you need to be working and going out doing something. And I say this all the time, and I mean this here. I mean, if I had to take my truck and go pick up cans, if you look out your back door window and see me riding down your alley picking up a water heater, don't be mad with me. Amen. I'm doing what I got to do. Am I right? I'm doing what I have to do. Y'all say, look at Brother Al, all them cans on the back of your truck. What are you doing? He ain't my preacher. Amen. I'm doing what I have to do. Amen. That's not showing partiality. See, we hurt a person when we do. See, but you got to teach him how to fish. See, but you can't teach him how to fish when you're giving them fish. Amen. And a lot of times we stifle our children, or we stifle people around us, because the Bible do say if a man don't work, he don't eat. Amen. Now, if you have done all you can, or you got laid off and you can't find no job, or you sick, amen, and you can't work, well, that's different. But when you just lazy, amen, and don't want to work, amen, see, that's a horse of a different color. Amen. But it's a sin to be lazy. It's a sin to be slothful, amen. Am I right? See, so he said, bear ye one another's burden, amen, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the Christian thing to do. See, that we care ye one for another. Amen. And let me tell you something. See, drop pride. Amen. A lot of times we won't come. We'll do it out because we're so proud. Amen. See, we're so proud and we're so haughty that I'm ashamed to come to Melanie and say, Melanie, could you loan me $10? I just don't have no gas. And then it should be that a lot of times you make money, but you don't know how to handle money. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people make money, but they throw money away. Am I right? See, I tell people all the time, when you get a check, first thing you ought to pay your house note. Pay your rent. Because you got to have somewhere to live. Am I right? Pay your light bill, because you don't want to be bumping and stuff. Amen. See, now you make it do without water, but you gonna pay your water bill. For hygiene's sake. Amen. But see, it's like that brother told me. He said, brother, you remember at one time, we didn't have cable, we didn't have internet, we didn't have none of that stuff. He said, because we couldn't afford it. He said, people were laughing at us, if you ain't got cable. Well, let me tell you something. If you can't afford it, leave it alone. Amen. Am I right? See? But why are you going to pay your cable bill when your light bill didn't? Because you don't know how to manage money. See, you got to learn how to budget money. You got to learn how to manage money so that money can not be a hindrance, can be a help to you. See, a lot of times, we fall because we don't know how to manage what we have. We make money, but we throw money away. You understand what I'm saying? See, we throw money away. See, you ain't got to eat at McDonald's three times a week. Well, a thing of peanut butter and a thing of jelly and a loaf of bread will suffice. Y'all remember we talk about need and want? You know, brother, why are you talking about all this here? Because see, all this goes into effect in relationship to want versus need, in relationship to how we see things. Because a lot of times we become our worst enemy. Because we just don't know how to manage what we have. And when we don't manage what we have, and then when you get broke, you get mad when nobody don't give you nothing. Well, they don't need to give you nothing because you need to know how to manage your own money. So the Gertrude said a long time ago, she said, her mind ain't got no eyes. She got to see for it. Amen. See, and I've taken up the ends in many, many days. She had five handkerchiefs with her. She had the power bill, and they're tied up in a little bit of knots. I don't know why they used to do that. They put the money in there, they're tied up in a little bit of knots. And then when they got to the window, it took them 10 minutes to untie the knot. Then she had a knot for the gas coming, a knot for the water coming. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But before she even left home, she had everything divided up. See, she put $20 a month away for her offering, $5 a Sunday. She wouldn't touch that $5 to save her life. But she knew every Lord that she put $5 in church. But that's just the way she thought, that's the way she did, and that's the way she worked it. And because she worked it that way, nobody never needed to help her because she had everything under control. But I'm saying that, yeah, we all our brother's keeper. We all about you one another burden, but you do your part too. See, a lot of times people don't want to hear that in relationship to how money works. A lot of people don't know how to balance checking accounts, don't know how to do this, don't know how to do it. And you've been in the world 40 years, and you still bouncing checks. See, you need to understand, when you get to zero, stop. Amen. You're laughing, but I'm telling you the truth. Who want to go to the mailbox with four of them slips in there and they $35 a piece? And then once you don't understand, once you get in the hole, you already broke. It's hard to get out the hole. Amen. Am I right? And then nowadays, a lot of times they deposit your check straight to the bank, and the bank sends your check before you do. And then what they do, they're going to take theirs out before you get yours. So you're already in the hole, amen? So that going to affect your spirituality, amen? Because ain't no way in the world you're going to come up in here and let the word of God be applied to your life when you're $400 negative in the hole. So what you going to be thinking about? How am I going to get out the hole? Amen? Am I right? Y'all with me? Go ahead, brother. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. 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 Well, see, you made 2 points. Number one, his way versus our way. See, our way supersedes his way. So you got to go back from the beginning of time. See, when God put this in motion, because of Adam and Eve sinning in the Garden of Eden, you will sweat and you will work for the rest of your life. See, that's a principle that you can't get around. See, that's what Christians are supposed to do. See, that's what husbands are supposed to do, to take care of his family. If a man don't take care of his own, he's denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. Now, look what you say. See, man way have superseded God's way. And the reason why it has superseded God's way, because, see, society had put provisions in to make men lazy. You understand what I'm saying? With federal benefits. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't have nothing against federal benefits if you need them. You understand what I'm saying? It should be a temporary measure until you can do better. You understand what I'm saying? Because, number one, a Christian mindset always to do what the Lord tell him to do. See, you must work. You must provide for your family. That's what Christians are supposed to do. Especially the man. Amen? To provide for his own family. Because if he don't, he'll deny the faith. And he's worse than an infidel. But we fail to teach this here, or we fail to emphasize this here, because we don't want to go against status quo. Go ahead. That's right. That's it. That's right. That's right. That's right. But see, these kids have to be taught. Then number one, they have to see it through example. See, you can't tell your kid to go get a job when you don't have them. See, you can't tell your kids you need to get up and go out and work when you sit at home and watch Ask the World Turn Yesterday, Tomorrow. All day, and you don't work. You understand what I'm saying? See, they have to be taught young. See, I heard a man talk about it, a lot of you might not know this, but they say over in Hoover, in the school system, they teach money. They teach the rule of 72. They teach principles there that when you 8, 9 years old, you need to know what the rule of 72 is in relationship to how money works. Or they teach you how to have a budget. Or they teach you how to count. Or they see, parents need to be teaching children, like you say, downstairs. They need to be taught that, see, because, see, go to John 14, because in John 14, he said the same thing you said, Terry. Allow God to work. Well, see, God ain't going to work outside of his word. Amen. He's just not going to bless you outside of his word. Amen. It ain't going to happen. See, partiality, see, you have it. It's not because I did it to you. Maybe you did it to yourself. To not have achieved or been the best that you can be. Amen. See, in John 14:14, he talks about that. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. And I believe that. But you got to do it the way God tells you to do it. And you can't go outside God's word to get it done. And that's what you're saying. Is that right? See, but society, amen, they promote something else. See, they promote that you don't have to. See, you don't have to. Because you got these young girls, you understand what I'm saying? They got this program, this program, this program, this program, this program, and they get all the benefits. First thing they do, they let a young dude come in and move in with them, amen. Well, he don't have to work because she got everything he needs. Amen. But what's going to happen when the program stops? When you have not prepared your mindset. It's the mindset, brethren. I know people don't want to hear this here. We need to teach our children this here. We need to be an example to them. Because we're not doing it but making a lazy society. What we're creating, society of bums. Because they don't want to work. See? And that's the problem. See? And that's the reason why. When you go back to Galatians, right quick, he talks about this here in Galatians 6. Y'all with me? I know this ain't Sunday school material, but it's the truth. Huh? Amen? See? See? Galatians 6, 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Yeah, I'll do anything I can to help you if you're my brother and you do it right. But when you step outside God's word, you're my children. I ain't going to do nothing for you. You say, well, you say, I'm just not going to do nothing for you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you want to be a bum, and you don't want to work, and you want to do nothing to help yourself. Why am I going to take the little I got to give to you? That don't make any sense. And then number two, I sin by doing for you, number one, when you fail to do for yourself. Now, it's tough for a parent to say, isn't it? But it's the truth. How can you say you love your mama and you love your daddy and you're a deadbeat to them? When you're always begging, taking from them, when you should be doing for your own self. Is that right? Am I right? You know your mama on a limited income and you just keep on, give me. Come on. It's time. Oh, let me hush before I get in trouble. I'm too early for this. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. But look at verse 3. That's where I want to go to. He said, if a man think himself to be something, it's that mindset, right? We all brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. That's the mindset that we have, amen. We're supposed to do one for another, amen, if we can. When he is nothing, he deceive himself. But look what he said, Terry. But let a man prove his own work. See, prove your own work. How do you prove it? By doing it by the name of, or by the authority of, by obeying God's word, doing what God tells you to do. Then when you do that, hey, everything going to work out all right. It's going to work out all right because you're going to do what's right. Because see, when you do everything by his name, you ain't going to be lazy. You're going to be a good steward. You're going to do everything right because that's what the Bible tells you to do. Amen. Right or wrong? See, and that's what he's talking about. See, then, go back to James 2. Y'all with me? Then that way we won't violate the glory of God. See, you won't violate the glory of God. You can glorify God. You can let your light shine. You can be those written epistles because you're doing it in accordance to the word. See, and that's the point I think that we need to understand in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Remember, we are those written epistles written and read in the hearts of all men. Amen. That's who we are. We are those written epistles written and read in the heart of all men. So he said, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to person. Underline that word faith. That's substance, right? Hebrews 11:1. See, when you put faith in, when you put substance in, amen, it gives you the understanding to know what is the will of the Lord. Amen. Amen. See, you have that faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when you have that, you can glory. And when you glory, at that point, you won't have respect to person. Y'all with me? See, it would not be a part of your life. Because you're going to do what faith tells you to do. Amen. You're going to do what's right in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Then verse 2 says, for if thou come unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring and godly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. You have two different situations. Amen. This is not we quickly say, somebody come in, look sharp, dress sharp. Hey, bro, how you doing? Then somebody come in and they may have holes in it. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we stand off, don't we? Am I right? But it shouldn't be that way. And ye have respect to him that wears the gay clothing. And that word gay clothing is not the gay clothing that you think is gay. That word means somebody who's happy. Yeah, we messed that word up. Why we messed up, I'm afraid. The world. Why would they call it gay? How can some sin be gay? Y'all with me? That's not gay. That's not happy. How can you be happy when you sin against God? Y'all with me? See, it's contrary to what the Bible teaches, right or wrong. See, that's contrary to what the Bible teaches. See, Romans says it's an abomination. It's a natural affection. Amen. How can that make you gay? I mean, how can that make you happy? You understand what I'm saying? See, we got to take the Bible. What Luke said, and yet respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit down here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand down there to sit here under my footstool. Footstool. You see what I mean? I had a lady come by Friday. But she called me before she came and wanted to know, did we have anything for food for her to eat? And I said, yeah, we do. Canned goods. And that's all we got. She says, well, that's fine, that's food. I said, well, come on by, and I'll give it to you. And I always say, when you knock on the door, she told me what her name was. I said, tell me your name. She did, I let her in. And she didn't have gay clothing on at the bottom. She's a little tough. You know, like she'd been had a hard night, hard week, well, maybe. And I got a little bag together and gave it to her and hugged her. And had her with a prayer with her. And she looked at me and she says, you didn't have no problem hugging me? I said, no. I said, why? She said, because I'm not clean. I said, what they got to do with it? You still need to be loved. And tears began to run down my eyes. Because, see, it made no difference to me. She still was a human being, amen? I mean, she, just because she didn't have anything to eat, you understand what I'm saying? That's what the stuff died for, amen? Amen? See, she still was a human, even though maybe she, I don't know why she didn't have clean clothes on. I didn't know why. That ain't my business, amen? And we're going to look at that in a few minutes, you know, about judging people. We don't judge people, amen? See, we just don't judge people, amen? So I got a name and number, and I'm going to call her. She said she's going to come today to worship. So, but I'm going to call her and try to get back with her to study with her a little bit more. You understand what I'm saying? Because she lives in this community somewhere. See, but I don't know where. But anyway, it should not be, brother, amen. Just because, you know, we partial to rich and show partiality to those who are less fortunate than we are. But look at verse 4. Are ye not then partial in yourselves? And are become judges of evil thoughts? Now do me a favor. Write Matthew 7:1. Matthew 7:24. Because Jesus himself warns about the danger. See? How we become judges of evil thoughts. When literally we don't have no accusation or proof to prove why. Matthew 7:1. Let's go to right quick. See, in relationship. See, I didn't have no right to judge that lady, did I? See, she told me she wanted something to eat, amen. I was glad we was able to do it for her, amen. Matthew 7:1, amen. See, in Matthew 7:1, if you're there, type verse 24 there. Matthew 7:1. Here Jesus says, judge not that ye be not judged. Amen. Judge not that ye be not judged. See, when you judge wrong, see, God gonna judge you. Amen. For what judgments you judge, you shall be judged. And what measures you melt, it shall be measured to you again. And why behold thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that's in thy own eye? Amen. You better be careful about what you judge and how you judge folks. You need to look at your own self. Amen. How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me put out the mote out thy eye, and behold a beam that's in thy own eye. Amen. Well, drop down to verse 34 for time's sake. He said, therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and doing them, I will liken him a wise man which buildeth his house upon a what? A rock. See, in relationship, that we understand what partiality is in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. And don't just judge people based on what you see. Or sometimes you can't judge a book by its cover. Amen. Amen. And then, that's not the Christian thing to do. That's not the right thing to do. Because we're supposed to love everybody. Amen. See, and we never know what situation that people may be in. Amen. In relationship to how we look at people and not really understanding what is the will of the Lord. So let's go back right quick. Here a couple more verses if we can. So he says here, verse 4, are ye not then postured in yourself and become judges of evil thoughts? Now stop right there because it's examination time, amen, and reflect. Well, have you ever done that, right? But we learn better, we do what? Are we going to try to correct that problem? So when we go out in the world and let our light shine and be the salt of the earth, that we find out ourselves being judgmental toward other people. Because when we judgmental toward other people, guess what? When you do it the wrong way, God going to judge you. Amen. In relationship to the word. And we don't want to be found accountable for that. Yes, Brother Paul, come on. Never. That's right. Amen. That's right. That's it. Right. Well, you have seen. That's right. But see, and that's a great point. That's the reason this hour is a process of learning how to do better. See, we've been talking about partiality, judging. Christian responsibility. See, we've been given scripture. See, hopefully you've been writing these scriptures down so what you hear, you can make the correction in your life and I can make the correction in my life so that we don't do it no more. Now, it's like this here, Brother Paul. See, until you learn better, we've been talking about people all our life. Amen? But when you learn better, you do what? See, you do better. That's what James 4:17 said. To him who know to do good and do it not, to him is a sin. So when you learn to do better, see, you do better. See, we've been talking about people all our life. We've been impartial to people all our life. We've been judgmental to people all our life. But when you learn better, what? You do better. So that's the reason why we come to Bible study. To study to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen. So that we don't do those things. Now, once you learn them and you fail to do it and sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, brother, that remains no more sacrifice for sin. So you sit up in here, and everything that we say, if you leave here and go against it, well, you're in violation of God's word. But not because you ain't heard it. Amen. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Now, this is the shame part. To sit up here and hear it, and to learn it, and to know it, and then don't do it. See, it's a shame to be sitting up here, and we call ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ, and we teach love, and we teach what partiality, non-partiality. We teach how we treat one another, and you get in that parking lot and talk about your brother. Now, that's double doggone shame. Amen. Because number one, we all have sin. Ain't none of us got no reason to point no finger at nobody. Am I right? Now, some of y'all might have more than the other people, but that'll make you no better. Some of y'all might have, you think, better homes than other people, but that don't make you no better. Some of you may have a newer car than somebody, but that don't make you no better. We are still brothers and sisters, not just in this building, but when we leave here. Don't just treat me right while you in here. Don't smile in my face and act like you like me just because you up in here. And when you leave it, say, that Negro ain't nothing. Because people say it. Amen. See, let me go a little bit further with this here. That's the reason why you don't never leave a congregation because of a dispute. Because wherever you go, it's in vain. Because if you don't straighten it out, see, you can't even worship God in spirit and in truth. See, you don't never leave here because of doctrinal issues. Because see, still ain't but one way. Somebody's still wrong. Amen. You don't get mad with your wife and leave mad. Because guess what? When you come back, the problem's still going to be there. So what? Straighten it out before you leave. Because you don't know what's going to happen between 8 o'clock and 5. You could drop dead. You could get killed. You understand what I'm saying? So, but until you, here we go again. Until you submit, resist, draw, humble yourself. But you got to humble yourself before God can use you. See, all we talking about takes humility, man. So the point that I'm saying, see, you're right. But see, before you understood what Matthew 18, 15 was, you got all against your brother, go to him and him alone. See, a lot of times we didn't know that. But when you learn that, you put it to practice, amen. And then if a brother come to you, amen, how you receive it determine what kind of spirit you got. Because you got a prized spirit, you're going to kick that back. Am I right? Now, if you got a humble spirit, you're going to receive it in meekness. Amen. Then grab the word, which is able to save your soul. Ain't no way in the world I can come to you here, Milton, and then your spirit's a pride spirit. He better not say nothing to me. He got a hand already like this. Hand. See, he already looking like this, shaking. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because, see, you went there the wrong way. See, you went there to fight. Because, see, what's going to happen is, what I say to you, you're going to kick it back because your spirit ain't right. And the devil knows that. You understand what I'm saying? So you're right, Paul. See, everything that we're talking about. Listen to me. Sunday, Wednesday night, tonight is a growing process. Every time you come, I love to hear Terry. I love to hear Fraser. I hear that from Paul. I love to hear all you talk and give your comments because we need together to work together to come in together that we may grow together. Amen. Man, you should have been here on yesterday. We had our men training. Oh, it's just off the hook. It's just unbelievable. I mean, Freddie was walking the Old Testament. John talking about me being an appetite. Boy, it was something else. We almost got Maurice to preach next Sunday. It was unbelievable. A little bit more coaching here said I did it. He came close. We stayed 30 minutes longer, we'd have had it there. Yeah. So okay, fucker. You see what I'm saying? We got 1 minute. Go ahead, because we out of time. Go ahead. Oh. That's it. That's it. That's it. See, go back. Jews said Cain was what? Unjust. See, when your spirit is wrong, I don't care how much God's word is preached, seed ain't going to penetrate. See, when you got a wrong spirit, you came up here wrong, and your spirit is not right, you received and grabbed the word ain't going to do nothing for you. That's the reason why you got to examine yourself, get yourself right before you come up in here. You understand? Because, see, you come up in here, and the world is on your mind, things of the world on your mind, and that's human, folks. Let me tell you something. It's just a human nature. You know the power comes, going to cut your power off tomorrow. That's on your mind, man. Am I right? See, if you know that you got problems of the world and the world beset you, see, that's what can overtake your mindset. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And the seed ain't going to penetrate. Because you sitting up in here, you hear me, John 14:14, you ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. You say, well, why did it happen to me? Well, you got to go back and examine. You say, mommy, you violated name. Why it ain't working? That ain't what you said, brother? And that what you said? When you do things his way. And that what you just said? But to do things his way, to trust him, it got to be here. See, the biggest problem here is clutter. We got too much clutter in our life, man. See? So you got too much right in here. You got to get rid of that clutter, amen? And all you're going to do it with the word of God. See, you don't go home and start asking yourself what this clutter is, what this is that's stopping the seed from penetrating. It ain't going to never get it right. Amen? You got to identify. You got to know what it is. Amen? See? And that's the point. And too many times we fail to do that, Brother Frazier. And you since you brought up Cain and Abel, well, Cain couldn't have did it right anyway. The Bible said he was unjust. He knew what God told him to do. Amen. But he had too much clutter there that it violated the principle of what God told him to do. And it happens every time. I'm telling you, man, it happens every time. I don't care. You come every day, every Sunday, until you get that sin out of your life. See, it ain't going to never work. Okay? All right, we'll pick back up next Lord's Day. Amen. Let's pray. Blessed.